Silent me concern. Amen. Amen. But we want to continue with our series, Pursuing God. You know, we talked from January, we've been talking about pursuing God during our 21-day fast. And as we decide to end this topic, it's like something keep coming up. The last time Pastor Garrett decided, we said, okay, we're going to be the last series on pursuing God. But then something came out, and the Holy Spirit just led him. Boom, he continued with baptism. And then I thought it was going to end on him. But then when I was preparing for today, and when I look at what the Holy Spirit led me to speak about, it's also about pursuing God. So it looks like we're not going to stop this topic, this series, for a long time. Amen. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Eternal Father, we want to thank you this afternoon. We thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. Lord, we thank you for our young people, Lord, and what you are doing in their lives. We ask, oh God, as we go through your word this hour to speak, not me, but Lord, you speak your word, Holy Spirit. And let your word go forth and accomplish the purpose for what it being sent for, Lord. We say, come, I hide behind you, and you take charge of this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we continue with our series, Pursuing God, Knowing His Peace, but we want to talk about something special today. The battle for young people. Can you hear me? Amen. The battle for young people. Coming from Psalm 119, that was beautifully read by Seth. And as we look at Psalm 119 and a couple of verses, we also want to consider a couple of things. We're going to skip that. Let me not skip this, but don't we live in a world where its culture is having influence on our young people? If you agree with me, only a few people saying yes.
Yes.
You don't be afraid to say yes, because if you say yes, I'm going to caution you to bring your young people to church. But seriously, we live in a culture that is having a great influence on our young people. But how do we assist our young people from being robbed from the gospel of hope, joy, and freedom? And the only place we can find that is in the Word of God. So for our eternal truth, and that picture for Snow Cam, right? And that was the call that was made, and all of our teams went up, and they make that commitment to be an outsider for Jesus Christ. Jesus was not an insider, he was an outsider, right? They didn't like what he was doing. So if they don't like what he was doing, are they going to like us for what we are doing? Absolutely not. So, in order, you must passionately pursue God through his word. Hide his word in your heart as a defense and consistently ask for his guidance. And I may be speaking to our young people today, our young youth Sunday, but that goes to every one of us too, right? Because God's word is not only for the young, is for even the old, right? So we too can gather something from what God's word is speaking this afternoon. So a couple of things I want us to look at this afternoon as we dive into the battle for the young people. And as we look at the passage this afternoon, there's a question. The first thing I want us to look at, how can we guard our heart, our life with the word of God? But there's a question that was asked in the passage. Now, just to get a brief thought on this is that, look at the author who wrote this passage. Some people say it was Daniel, and some say it's David. But most people are leaning towards David, who wrote this psalm. But when I read and tried to inquire, what came to my mind is that these two people that consider to be the author of this psalm
If you look at them, they were young people. Daniel was a young man. He was taken into captivity in Babylon. But because he committed himself to God as a young man, he had an opportunity to serve the king in the king's palace, to have luxury life, good food and everything. But what did Daniel say? Daniel said he would not disobey God. He would not defy himself to eat of the king's delicacies. Instead, he will feed because he held on to the truth that God told them not to eat anything that has been offered as a sacrifice to idols. And all of the king's food were offered to the sacrifice that had been offered to idols. And Daniel remembered that as a young man. Even in captivity, he stood up for the truth that he would not disobey God. And let's think about David, right? David had a rough life as a young man. Number one, his brother did not even believe him to be anybody. What was his position? He was a shepherd. And imagine being a shepherd, you were counted as nobody. You are counted as the lowest of the lowest of the lowest class. You were not even mentioned of. So look at these two young men. Their lives were not great, but they commit themselves to God. And I believe, and this is why David says, so I want to say, I want to believe it's David who wrote this passage, right? But there's a question he asked in there. And here's the question he asked in there. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young person, a young man, a young woman, now, when the scripture says young man, it doesn't refer only to the male gender, but it refers to both gender, male and female. So don't be going, so, oh, they're asking how a young man, the Bible didn't say how a young woman. No, you are involved. So when the scripture says man, it refers to both gender, male and female. So he asks him, how can a man cleanse his way? Now, I said earlier in our truth that a lot of things are happening today in our society. And society is taking our young people away from God, taking our young people away from church, taking our young people away from the gathering of believers. They find pleasure in doing things that will please them. They don't find pleasure in doing things that will please God. You know, when we grew up, I was telling my children, I said, when we grew up, there was no cell phone. And I grew up in Liberia in Africa. And my age, we didn't even have phone in our house. Neither landline, we didn't even have it. We didn't have phones, so before I meet my friends, it's either at school or during recess, where they're going to give you about 30 minutes for recess. And that 30 minutes in between, you'll go out and play and come back sweating like no one business. But that was a wonderful time we had because that's the only time we get to see our friends, right? And another time we get to see our friends on a soccer pitch. That's when we get to hang out with our friends. We go on the football field. We go hang out. We play soccer. And another place is at church. So we were eager to go and see our friends at church. We want to be there, especially for me who came from a Muslim background. It was difficult. But I fought hard to be at church Sunday morning because there I see my friends. I hang out with them. I get to share. But apart from them, from that time, we don't get to see each other. But today, hey, they can be in the bedroom and they're talking to someone 24/7. They're on TikTok, Instagram, and what's the other one? Huh? Snapchat. They have all of these things in their hand today. Technology is not bad, it's great, but mind you, is affecting our young people. In this culture, Christianity is a taboo to them. Going to church is a taboo to them. They hate it. They can spend countless hours playing video games. It's fine.
But you tell them, go to church. Why do I have to go to church?
Because Satan knows exactly what he's doing. He knows that with today's culture, technology, he uses that to take our children. They're learning things on the internet and doing things on the internet, communicating with people on the internet that you don't even know. They are involved in those things. So all this thing kind of take them away from the scripture. You know, I was asking one of our teens who I haven't seen since after snow camp. When we went to snow camp, we had about 25 kids. When we came back from snow camp, we had about 15 kids as a youth group. So I'm trying to, the leaders are trying to strategize, how can we get this going? Maybe we're going to tell the parents, if your kids go for snow camp, you got to be with them for a youth, service, youth meeting on Friday morning, Friday evening. But here is the thing, right? I was asking one and I said, we gave us a quiet time book. And I asked him, are you reading your quiet time book? Oh, I don't know where it's at. Whew. So what do you do? I play, go for my sport, and I come back, I get tired. So I ask, how are you growing spiritually? How are you growing spiritually? How is your spiritual life? And growing spiritually is not only for adults. And I want to take us back to David. I want us to take us back to Daniel. And I want us to take us back to Samuel. Samuel was 7 years old when God spoke to him. God left Eli the priest and called Samuel and spoke to Samuel and delivered a message that God could give to Eli. But he refused. He called Samuel a seven-year-old child and spoke to him. You think God can speak to our young people today? The Bible says the same God of yesterday is the same God of today. So how do we, can a young man cleanse away? And what the next thing that I say, by taking heed according to what? Young people, I want you to answer now. Your word. How can I change my life from spending 24 hours on TikTok? You know, when we come for youth fellowship, when they say youth break, most of our girls, then they're going to go on TikTok and they put the music on and they're dancing, doing this. But man, at the beginning of our praise and worship time, you ask them to clap. You can't get it, but they will be in the corner and doing all those things. Even some of the boys doing all that. I said, oh, you can do all of this. But when you come, and then you're acting like a statue, that you can't move. Amen. Young people, this is your day. But I want to remind you about what God's word says. We live in a time that Satan will do everything. Because you know what? Satan knows that you are the next generation for the church of God. If he destroys the next generation, when we have gone, who's going to take over? And that's why it's important that we tell you about God's word. Hey, I tell my children, I say, I pray that you know God and love God for you, not for me. Not because I'm a pastor or I'm your dad. I want you to love God for you. Know God for yourself. Because at the end of the day, hey, you're going to answer for yourself. And I'm going to do everything I can. If I'm going to support you in any activity outside, guess what? You better support me in the church too. Amen. Thank you. But David said, by healing according to God's word. God's word is the foundation for everyone's life. You cannot do without it. You cannot make it without it. No matter how smart, no matter how famous you are, no matter how beautiful or handsome you are, God's word is the most and important thing that you can have in your life. Every other thing going to pass away. Every other thing going to go away. But he said his word will never pass away. So in order for a young man to cleanse his way, you have to heed to the word of God. And not only that, let's try to look at John chapter 17, verse 17 to 19. Jesus said it. He says, sanctify them by your truth. And where does the truth come from? From God's word. You may have friends who will try to mislead you, but when your foundation is based on God's word, which is the truth, you will be solid. Solid as a rock. Right? And look there, Jesus said, your word is true. Now, if Jesus, who the creator, because the Bible said in the beginning was the what? The word, and the word was what? With God. And everything that was made what? Through him. But if Jesus, who being the creator, Jesus, who being God, came down on earth and he took God's word seriously, don't you think we need to do the same? We need to heed unto God's word because the time we are living in is evil. We've been teaching in our youth group this past month about wicked desire. And we talk about some characters. Some of you, if you're going to answer me? They're looking. We talk about three characters in our youth group. Right? Yes. Jezebel, Pastor Paul's wife, who else? Delilah, yes. And we talk, they have some, who has some, Delilah, what kind of desire she has? She has selfish wife, come on. Gain, yes. Oh, they're learning. Delilah has selfish gain. Her desire, she betrayed Samson because of what? Gold. And as young people, your desire for all these things will come. But heed unto God's word. Heed unto God's word. Your friends will want to manipulate you to do the wrong thing. And we're talking about Potiphar's wife, right? What did she do, guys? Huh? Yes, she manipulated Joseph. She tried to manipulate Joseph to do what? Sleep with him, with her, rather. Was it right? No. Joseph was a handsome young man. And here, this lady, she decided to manipulate him to sleep with her. And Joseph said, I can't do this. My master have given me control over everything except for you. And young men, there are times your desire for things will come. And the Bible said, abstain from sexual immorality because your body is what? The temple of God. No matter what you, and that's why you need God's word. Because when those moments come, God's word will help you to escape those things. Though desire come, God's word is able to change your heart to make you do the right thing and make the right decision as a child of God. And Joseph knew God. He knew that it was forbidden to sleep with someone who is not your wife or who is not your husband. So he refused. And even though he was thrown into prison, but guess what? God was with him. If you stand up for the truth, you remember our youth group, right? Snow camp. The speaker said this, and I want to re-echo it. He said, your Christian life should not be on the pause and remote system. Where, when situation comes, you pause your life and yield to the situation. When it's sinful, you go into it, and then you unpause, you want to get back. No. Once you're on the track for God, keep on moving because Those moments going to come. Those time going to come as young people. Those things, the desire of your heart. But God's word, that's why we're going to go to the next point and what David says about God's word. See God's word with your whole heart. Because when you see God's word with your whole heart, this is what's going to happen. It's not half-hearted. It's not when you feel like doing it. It's not, oh, should I do it today? No. Because the moment you give time to the devil, hey, he ready to take over your life. He ready to step in. And this is why I say, with my whole heart, David said, I have sought you. And oh, let me not wander from what? Your commandments. As young people, to move forward, to live, is your life, your heart should see God's word totally. Just as you love your video game, just as you love that football game, just as you love cheerleading, whatever activity you involve in, with your whole heart, you go for a tryout, you put your whole heart into it. Put your whole heart into God. And see if God will ever let you down. One thing I know, he's the God that never fails. He may not agree to your decision, to your request, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't know what is best for you. Sometimes you think this is best for you, but God look at you and say, my child, this is not good for you. And that's why in order to be in that position, he said, with your whole heart, seek God with your whole heart, not partially, not when you feel like. When you don't feel like, that's when you should seek him more. When you feel weak, that's when you should seek him more. That's when you get on your knees and pray. That's when you take your Bible to read. Because the scripture says the devil is like a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says, whom he may devour. So guess what? Satan doesn't know specific person he can go to, but he's looking for people who are vulnerable. When he sees that vulnerability in your life, those things that are taking you from God, that's when he comes in and make it look good that, oh, it's good, no problem. Hey, young man, you can sleep with that girl, it's no problem. Young girl, you can sleep with that boy, it's no problem. Hey, you can do this, you can do that, you can steal, you can shoplift, you can curse, you can do, it's no problem. It's the norms of the day. Go ahead and do it. That's the open box he sees in your life, and he capitalized on it to do exactly. He's looking for that loophole in your life. He's looking for that opportunity. But if you hear unto God's word, and when that opportunity, when that moment comes for him to take charge, let God take charge. When you speak your word, the word of God to Satan, he's going to back off. Jesus on the mount, after fasting 40 days and night, the Bible says he was led to be tempted by the devil. If Jesus can be tempted by the devil, don't you think he's going to tempt us? Oh, yes, he's well. He's going to come, and he's going to design everything to tempt you, to take you away from God. But your foundation is God's word. And not only that, Timothy, Paul kind of encouraged Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, flee, young people. Also, he said, flee also youthful lust. We can go on and name youthful lust that take away our young people, social media, good time. Now, I tell kids in our youth group, we love to even come and watch your kids. Sometimes Pastor Gary and I, we go and witness some of the kids' games. We love to support you in doing that. It doesn't mean we don't want you to participate. I pray for you to be, I be teasing my little nephew. I tell him, I say, guess what? You're going to be the first round draft pick for Dallas Cowboys. And he don't want to accept my he said, no, I want to be ego. I said, I prophesy you on this day. I said, you're going to be the first round draft pick for Dallas Cowboys. And I tell you, say amen. He don't want to say amen. I said, say amen. He don't want to say amen.
So even I gave him prophetic message, he still don't want to receive it, right? Because of a desire for ego. But what am I trying to say, right, church? We support all our children to excel, to be the greatest athlete, to be the greatest doctor or financial person. Whatever your desire, your choices are, we support you. We pray for you. But guess what? This is what I tell them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all. You see what I like about God's word? He didn't specify. He said, oh, and some or few or maybe a little. He said, all these things will be added unto you. But first, you got to seek God. If you want to be LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan, seek God. You want to be Tom Brady? You want to be Patrick Mahomes? You want to be Dev Pascal? Oh, you don't even want to answer me because I got Dev Pascal. Seek God first. When you seek God first, every other thing is going to be added unto you. That's why God's word says. And you think God can't do it? Yes, he's faithful. He can do it. He can make the impossible possible in your life. And not only that, internal lies the scripture. Let the scripture say, your word have I what? Hidden in my heart. That I may not do what? Sin against you. God's word is there to guide our path. God's word is there to direct our lives. God's word is there to teach you. This is the greatest book you can ever learn from. When I was in college, every year they bring in new edition. They upgrade it, but it's the same material, but they will just put third edition, fourth edition, fifth edition, this edition, that edition. And you sometimes the professor say, you know what, this, and it costs almost $400 just for one book. And sometimes I had one professor, he said, this is killing. All the other, they just want to make money. He said, hey, I will tell you which chapter, go to the library, photocopy a book, and do your work. But what am I saying? All these editions, they're not even accurate. But God's word is accurate. It never changed. It stays the same. It's powerful than any two-edged sword that can pierce your heart. And that's why somebody said, your word have I hidden in my heart. And for this culture that we find ourselves living in, we need to, our young people, the word of God need to be embedded deep down in your heart. Because there are things that you're going to experience outside there. And it only takes God's word to deliver you from those situations. Not your strength. Not your own self. You can, apart from God, you are nothing. Without God, you are nothing. You cannot do anything without him. Even with Jesus, he admitted, he said, all I do according to the will of the Father in heaven. If God himself, Jesus, can submit to the Father in heaven, what more about us young people? And God needs to take control. Amen? In James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, God's word, which is able to do what? Save your souls. See how powerful God's word is? That's what we need to do, young people. Have God's word in our heart. This is what Moses spoke to. God spoke to Moses and said, tell people, he said, but from there you will seek the Lord your God. And you will what? Find him. If you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, where do we find God? Do we go and find God on the stadium? No. Do we go Manhattan or we go New York, Times Square? Can you find God there? No. Can you find God at your job? No. Can you find God at your school? No. Where do you find God? In his word. Look into the word of God. And if you want to know more about God, it's in the word. You learn about him. You know about him. And know about what God says about your life. And sometimes we don't study God's word.
And we don't know what God's word says concerning our life. In Jeremiah, he said, I know the plans I have for you. Do you think about that? Sometimes you may want to be this athlete, but God said, this is not a plan I have for you. There was a young man, Isaiah Austin, if anybody can remember him, he was to be the number one draft pick in the NFL. And 4 days for the NBA draft, rather, he was to be the number one draft pick. 4 days to be selected, he was diagnosed with a syndrome, a thing called Marfan syndrome, that affected the blood vessel, his heart, and he could not be drafted. Imagine this young man, all his life he's been dreaming to play in the NBA. And he was the number one expected draft pick in the NBA to be drafted. And only to come find out he cannot play in the NBA. Imagine how his parents must have felt. Imagine how he himself must have felt with all the dream, with everything he had. But only to come crashing down before him. Sometimes our desire may not be God's desire. Our plans may not be God's plan. But God knows exactly what he's working in your life for your future and for the time to come when he, God, will be glorified in your life. Amen. So when you internalize God's word in your life, when those moments come, you will give him the glory and say, God, maybe if that had not been discovered, he would have been playing and drop there on the court. But things change in your life. But God doesn't change in your life. Situation will change in your life, but God will not change. He's the same God. He has the master plans for your life. And all you need to do is seek him. Let his word take root in your life. Hebrews chapter 11, Paul says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the what? Rewarder of those who what? Diligently what? Seek him. God will not let you down. God will not forsake you. He will never turn his back on you. I love this picture. My man Kittel there was worshiping. Praise God for him. Amen. And I just so grateful. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Give God a hand of praise. To have him playing the piano with the king's team singing. What a blessing to have. So even as we come wrapping up, in the passage, David said, let the Lord teach you his statutes. And how does God teach you his statutes? Is through his word. Let's look at it quickly. Start with worship, young people. Worship first. He said, blessed are you, O Lord. Now, David had a difficult life as a young man. He went through humiliation with his own family. He was considered nobody. But he trusted God. And he defeated Goliath that no one could have defeated. And God used him to redeem Israel. And God did great things. Even at the point when Saul decided to kill him, David was so submissive to God. And his servant said, Saul is right, let's just kill him. And mind you, David was already ordained as king of Israel. He was anointed as king of Israel. And how can an anointed king be running from a king? And his men said, kill him and let us just go and stop the running. And what did David say? No. Touch not my anointing and do my prophet. No harm. God placed him there, and God will take him. You think that wasn't an opportunity for David to overtake Saul? That was the right moment. And if anyone was in that position, whoo, God, you just brought my enemy right to me. Oh, Father, thank you. You brought my enemy right. Oh, this is confirmation that God wants me to take over. He brought my enemy right before me. I'm going to take him up. But David said, hold on. Hold on. God anointed him as king. And only God can take him out. I have no power to take another person's life unless God decides. So I'm not going to do it. And David cut a Saul rope and showed him next morning. He said, I could have killed you, Saul, but I'm not. As far as I'm concerned, you are God's servant. Until God decides to, I'm not going to do it. David had God's word in his heart. He said, blessed are you, O Lord. And even in his book, he said, teach me. He said, David recognized God's character to be the foundation of obedience. To obey God, no matter the circumstances, no matter what you may be facing, your friends may say, or what they talk about you, your belief is to obey God. They may not like you for standing up for God. Yes. Because God is responsible for you. You owe it to God. God doesn't owe it to you. Amen? And not only that, but humble petition. David King said, God, I bet he might have gotten down on his knees and said, teach me your statue, Lord. I can't do this without you. I can't grow without you. I can't learn without you. Because your word says, if I need wisdom, where should I go? To you. You give wisdom. You give knowledge. So I'm on my knees, oh God, calling you, Lord. Teach me. Help me to understand your will, your purpose for my life. It shouldn't be me. Let it be about you, God. That's what David did. You see, we cannot live a holy life without God's divine instruction and enabling grace. Only God can give us grace to live that holy life. Only God can give us the courage to do that. You cannot do it on your own. A teachable spirit is required to allow God to transform us from where? Inside out. And that's what we need. Now, as I close, I want to come down to the parents. We have our children. God bless us with these kids. And it is our responsibility to make sure they grow. They live in a time, in a culture that is completely confusing to them. You listen to media, you listen to this, you listen all sorts of things over, and it's playing on the mind, and sometimes it's confusing to the life. You know, one of my youth came to me this morning and said, Pastor, I have a serious question, but I'm not going to talk about the question. But when he asked that question, it kind of break my heart that he wants to understand something from God's word. What? And it's related to what is happening in our culture today and what have you. And his desire is to know what does the Bible say about these things. You know, I was sharing with Pastor Gary when I came from Snow Camp. And why at Snow Camp, the top of the cultural influence, we as parents, do we understand, do we know what our children are facing, what the culture is bringing to them? Do we know? Do we have the sense of what is happening to them when they get out of our house, go to college? Do you know what they're experiencing out there? And that's a moment that we as parents need to understand that, hey, we need to take grip of our children right now, or else the devil will take grip of them when they get out. And this is why the Lord said to Moses, he said, tell the children, he said, therefore you shall lay these words of mine where? In your heart. Now, in your heart, that goes to who? The parents. Parents, first of all, the word of God has to be in your heart. I cannot give my children what I don't have. I cannot teach my children what I don't learn. I cannot let them know what is in the scripture if I don't know what is in the scripture. So first of all, it has to start from me. It has to start from you as parents. We have beautiful young men, beautiful handsome young men, beautiful young women, children growing up that are going to be great people. But guess what? The devil is doing everything to distract them. And look what he says in there. He said, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. And he didn't stop there. He said, you should what? Teach them to what? Your children. Now, he didn't say, take them to Sunday school to be taught. He didn't say, take them to youth group to be taught. We want them Sunday school. We want them in youth group. But guess what? Youth group is just only 2 hours. Sunday school is just 1 hour. Sunday morning is just 2 or 3 hours. But you have them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They live with you under your roof. Are you teaching them God's word? He said, teach them to your children. Speaking of them when you are. Oh, I'm speaking to the adults now. When you are, sit in your house. When you are, walk. Today, many of them don't do walking, right? Because during those days, they walk. There was no car, there was no motorcycle, there was nothing to walk. But today, we have cars, right? So, when you drive them to your football game, teach them the word of God. When you drive them to the cheerleading game, teach them the word of God. When you drive them to whatever performance, teach them the word of God. And he didn't stop there. He said, when you are, lie down. Teach them the word of God. And not only that, when they are, rise up. Teach them. Now, is there any compromising in there? Can somebody help me? Is there any compromising in there? There is no compromising in there. God is, he's not telling us to compromise with our children. We love them so dearly, yes. But we cannot compromise when it comes to the word of God. We cannot compromise the truth. What God's word says. Speak it to your children. Tell it to your children. Let them know that they can be whoever they want to be according to God's plan. But this is what God's word says. You know, I've been telling my wife, I said, I don't care where my children go in the future, because I got all girls. So they're not going to stay with me all the life. Some people say the boys stay home more than the girl, right? But they're going to go. But my prayer is, wherever they go, let them go with God's word in their heart. Wherever they serve, let them serve God from what they have learned. As long as they're serving God, as long as they're doing what God wants them to do, that's the bottom line. I am satisfied that God is using them, that they're being used to glorify God, that they are being used to honor God. It may not be in First Baptist. It may be maybe they marry and go to another place. They got to follow their husband because they say, leave your father and mother and cleave. So maybe they might go to their husband church. But while you there, serve God in there, even though I wanted to be at FBC. Yeah. But wherever you are, serve God. Honor God, live for him, and know that he's the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that as we go forward, we pray, Lord, that your word would just take root in our life. We thank you for our young people and also our parents, that we would just heal to your word. And trust your word to lead our young people and lead us as parents. We just thank you. And if you hear this afternoon and have not accepted the Lord as your Savior, this is the moment. This is the time. You can see us, and the pastors, or the deacons, and we can pray along with you. And that you can live your life and not be robbed by the truth of the gospel and the freedom that you can have in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The praise team will come and just lead us into our closing song. And, oh, all of our kids are gone, but it's a song, I Love You, Lord. And as we prepare our hearts, it should be our desire to love God, to honor him, to worship him, to know that he, God, deserves all of our praise, all of our honor, and all of our worship. Amen. You can stand along with us as we sing.
And they say, just look at God. Look what he's doing. He's doing a great work in our young people who have great leaders. By the way, I want to say thank you to all of our leaders. You know, working so feverishly and so hard at really the most important thing, the next generation, right? But as Pastor Ansu just challenged us, as parents, maybe grandparents, great-grandparents, we got to pursue God if our kids are going to pursue God. And I want to just challenge all of us. That's a commitment that we all can make today. Say, you know what? I can't make them do it, but if they see me doing it in the power of God's Spirit and they see the changes in me, they're probably going to want to do the same thing. We're going to close with a word of prayer. If there's any need that you guys have, you want to talk about, discuss, pray about, reach out to us. Reach out to our deacons, maybe even just reach out to your neighbor, because there's probably a whole bunch of us are wrestling with the same things right in the pew. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word does change things. Your word changes our lives. And I pray, dear God, that we would just so pursue you and seek you and your word, Lord, with a passion, Lord, that would be life-changing. Thank you for our students. Thank you, dear God, for our leaders, Lord, in all the departments. But thank you, dear God, that you love us and you seek us first. Lord, work in us now in the week ahead as we go out into our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and even the uttermost parts of the earth. Father God, may we bring you glory. And Lord, help us to take the message of hope and truth that Jesus is alive. And that he is here to change our lives and make us just like him. Father, we thank you again for this day, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. By the way, as you guys leave today,